Hello, and welcome to the Astrology Witch podcast. I'm your host, Tiana, and today we will be discussing several of the most common and important fixed stars in astrology, specifically the 15 Bahenian fixed stars and what they might indicate in a natal chart or transit. I'm going to go through the basics. Again, this is just like kind of similar, in a similar vein to the All About Asteroids episode that I just did, where it's a kicking off point, guys. Fixed stars, one thing I will say that's really interesting about them is that they really have a deep history within ancient astrology in many cultures, as far as people studying the celestial and heavenly bodies or heavenly spheres or whatever you want to call them. We definitely have a deep legacy across various cultures where they studied both fixed stars and planets, and they all had extreme significances. I think it would be really cool if you enjoy things like mythology, if that is something that you want to incorporate into your astrological practice. I mean, it's already baked into astrology to a certain extent, but you get really deep in the weeds when you start talking about fixed stars, because the mythology is directly impacting the influence that these fixed stars tend to have on a person's chart, and they're not always important. So we'll talk about that too. But let's get started by talking about what is a fixed star. So fixed stars are stars that are so far from Earth that they don't seem to move over time, which is in contrast with what ancient astrology is referred to as wandering stars, which are all the planets we've referred to, you know, including the sun, which is technically also a star, and the moon, which isn't really a planet, but which all appear to move in orbit as opposed to being fixed. Obviously, back then, they thought the sun was orbiting the Earth, and, you know, now we know the Earth is orbiting the sun. but anyway, so, you know, they're fixed because they don't move or orbit the way planets do, or astrological planets, as I said, because we know the sun is a star. Hopefully, this makes sense and is clear to you. Often, though, it's planets between a fixed star and Earth which bring out the star's potential, and their influence is adjusted depending on the planetary aspects and transits. Especially, they can become very important during eclipses or if they're very close to personal planets, in which case the influences of them are becoming underscored, and depending on what planets are there, they can change the meaning. So that's the basics of what fixed stars are. And what do fixed stars signify within astrology? So the significance of fixed stars really varies depending on which type of astrological tradition you're employing. But since they've been used in more ancient traditions, their indications within chart can be quite polarizing. Like, it feels a lot like comparing the Old Testament to the New Testament, but make it astrology. like, you'll have significators that are like high honors, good fortune, sudden death. Like, you'll hear more about that later, but that really is kind of the vibe we're dealing with when it comes to the indications for fixed stars and what they mean in a chart, and it's wild. But you definitely get that, like, feeling of, you know, there being this duality and this dual nature for the fixed stars themselves and what they signify, especially when there's other planets involved. So yeah, that's kind of the vibe. Anyway, Western astrology simply uses fixed stars to supplement their planetary indicators within charts and transits, but Eastern Vedic astrology is almost entirely based on the fixed stars, and because they're considered fixed, each one is about the same degree of their zodiac sign significator for several years, and they're only considered relevant in a chart reading if they're conjunct or within a single degree of personal planets or points, such as the angular houses in a chart. And zodiac signs within the Western astrological tradition are based on our seasons, specifically within the Northern Hemisphere, and they start with the first day of Aries season on the spring equinox and follow the movement of the sun, divided into 12 equal segments, or zodiac signs, or zodiac seasons, in the ecliptic path that the sun seems to make around the Earth each year. And this is why we call it the Western Tropical Zodiac, and many significations are derived from the seasons that they fall within. Now, this is in contrast with the Eastern Vedic astrological tradition, which employs the sidereal or star-based, sidereal literally means like star, star-based zodiac, and that is based on dividing the sky into 12 equal parts, starting with the Aries constellation. Both Eastern and Western astrological traditions were aligned at one time because the first day of spring and Aries season The first star of Aries rose within the sun, or sorry, rose with the sun, but over time, Earth's tilted axis drifts them out of alignment, so that the Western tropical approach is about 24 degrees from the Eastern viewpoint of Aries. And this is what this is caused by what we call the precession of the equinoxes, which shifts about 1 degree every 72 years. That's not a lot, but all of this to say the rate of the fixed stars is much more minor. So minuscule, in fact, that they only change about 1.3 minutes over a century or a period of 100 years. So the positions of these fixed stars from the time of like 2000 BC are mostly the same positions today as they were back then, give or take a few degrees, because of how slowly they move. Okay, so let's talk about how we can work with fixed stars, and then we can go into each of the Bahenian fixed stars and their indications. So the main fixed stars, also known as the Bahenian fixed stars, which are the most common ones that you'll see people, modern astrologers, that is, using, and I'm not so sure about Eastern astrologers, I don't follow it as much, but you do see them kind of talking about it here and there, are a group of 15 stars which are considered particularly powerful and fortunate, especially within the Kabbalistic system of magic. So this is really interesting. If you want to incorporate astrology into your practice, the fixed stars can be a great point at which to start using them, specifically in rituals and making talismans and stuff like that. 16th century occultist Agrippa, which is this man who's famously known for his three books of occult magic and philosophy, and they're still referenced to this day within the occult and magical community. They're delineated many of the modern significations that we still use to today. So if you're interested in that, I definitely recommend checking out Agrippa's work and also researching the fixed stars on your own in a ritual and occult context. They can be really interesting when it comes to astrological and planetary magic. Now, aside from the fixed stars' use within natal chart interpretations, and of course, as I just said, magical ritual, they're sometimes used within transit interpretations. You'll hear some modern astrologers actually doing that exactly. They'll mention specific fixed stars and why they're important at that point, especially when they're in conjunct with the planets within a 1 degree orb or at a particularly essential angle. That's when they become particularly notable, or when they're happening along the line of eclipses and the nodal axes. Similar to asteroids, fixed stars only really become of particular importance when they're conjunct personal planets, which will allow them to supersede the planets themselves and become kind of the main talking point of a person's chart interpretation. And like, there's this blending and mixing that happens between fixed stars and personal planets. So you see something like one of the first fixed stars we're going to talk about is Algol. And like, let's say that's, you know, conjunct Jupiter or Saturn. You kind of mix the two energies together, and one can either make it more fortunate of a placement to have or less fortunate of a placement to have, depending on which one it is. So that's kind of what we're talking about here. And again, similar to asteroids, many fixed star interpretations are based on mythology and are often incorporated into several forms of predictive astrology, as well as magical practices. Things like horary and electional astrology, they use this a lot. And again, similar to asteroids, the fixed stars add a flavor or dynamic energy to planets when mixed with them, especially in conjunctions or when they fall at a particularly important point or angle of the chart. When a fixed star is conjunct the ascendant or midheaven, it can indicate good fortune for a person early in their life. Keep in mind that not all charts are heavily impacted by the fixed stars, but if they are, it does often indicate that there is this like rise in prominence or fame or success or riches for that person. And the specifics depend on the planet themselves, because like, you could have someone that gets rich really early on in life only to lose it all, or they rise in prominence only to like have a complete downfall of their reputation, or they die by like, I don't know, infectious disease. Like, some of this stuff is really oddly specific and kind of interesting, but also kind of intimidating. You can calculate online what your, it's called a heliacal rising and setting star is, which basically tells you which fixed star was rising before or setting after your sun on the day you were born, as these often act as a kind of like point of guiding wisdom for people in their charts. And that can be a really interesting starting point if you want to just like, you know, maybe not investigate every fixed star in your chart, because they'll be somewhere in your chart most of the time, unless they're just not, and they might not even have an important place. Like, sometimes you have an entire chart and it's not impacted in any strong way by fixed stars. But if you calculate your heliacal rising and setting star, it'll tell you which fixed star was rising before or setting after your sun on the day you were born. And that can be kind of like a helpful thing to see, you know, what's the main energy there for me personally, because our rising sign is us personally in the chart. All right, all of that to say, now we're going to talk about Bahamian fixed stars, the main ones, and their indications. Keep in mind, again, these are not the only fixed stars. There are tons of them, tons and tons of them. And, you know, there's different indications for them. Most of them fall within the constellations. Have at it if you want to. I really wanted to pare this episode down a little bit just to keep it simple, because it can get really like complicated and involved. And I think personally the Bahamian fixed stars are the most common ones that are used, and it's the easiest place to start. So hopefully you find this helpful. So the first one is Algol. Algol is within the rulership of the fixed sign Earth sign of Taurus, and is considered an unfortunate star. It's also known as like the demon star, and it's associated with the Medusa myth, and it exists within the constellation Perseus. I know this sounds very convoluted, but if we think about it, it's ruled by the fixed sign of Earth, the Earth sign of Taurus, sorry. It isn't a fortunate star, and it's associated with the Medusa myth because it exists within the constellation Perseus, who's like the hero, you know, kind of hero in the sky of that story, holding her head. And you'll understand that a little bit, why I'm mentioning that in a minute. The planets that are its combined nature are Saturn and Jupiter. And this is causing a person to, quote, lose their head in a specific area of life. So we know that's what happened to Medusa. That's kind of where they're getting this meaning from. The nature of these combined planets is considered pretty dignified, conservative, and humble, but it's considered one of the most unfortunate stars, and it's associated with literal decapitation, exactly what happened in the Medusa myth. It's like associated with things like violence, unlucky, like inauspicious days, danger, hanging, mob violence, and can bring violent or dogmatic nature, which may lead to the person's unfortunate end. So now we're getting into, you can kind of understand what I'm saying about these fixed stars being like really kind of polarizing and intense. So there are always going to be positive and negative effects to most fixed stars, even the, if they have like a particularly main meaning. So like this one is, you know, again, known as like a demon star. So it's not great. It's like one of the most unlucky stars out there. But there are positive and negative aspects to Algol. On the positive side, it can make a person like bold, serious, magnanimous, protected from malicious magical harm, patient, loyal, talkative, and successful in the world. On the negative side, a person can be violent or the victim of violence, secretive, bigoted, or have a tendency toward fanaticism or ruthlessness or brutality, or possess extreme physical or mental powers. And the gemstone associated with Algol is the diamond, and its plant association is with black hellebore or mugwort. So that's another thing I'll be mentioning within the fixed stars, because I know that this is associated with like occult magic and ritual and practices and creation of talismans. There are stone and plant associations that each of these have, and those can be really helpful if you are going to use these in a magical context. So hopefully that is a good starting point for you. Okay, the next fixed star is Alcyon. Don't quote me on how I'm pronouncing these guys. I'm doing my best. Maybe Alcyon, also known as Pleiades. It falls within the area rulership of Gemini. And Alcyon, or Alcyon, however you want to read it, exists within the constellation of Taurus. The brightest of the Pleiades, also known as the Seven Sisters or Daughters of Atlas star cluster. So it's the brightest star within this star cluster. And it's traditionally associated with the myth of Atlas, the main sister of the Pleiades sisters myth, who was seduced by Poseidon. Its nature is the combination of Moon and Mars, signifying both love and conflict, adventure, treachery, brutality, and a promiscuous nature. Alcyon, or Alcyon, is said to cause love, but also accidents to the face. Like, this is brutal. It makes natives here ambitious, optimistic, conflicted, and peaceful. It can bring a lot of travel and success in agricultural matters, or cause blindness, disgrace, or violent death. So you kind of see what I'm saying about some of these significators really depending on like what personal planet are they conjunct. Could be good, could be horrific. And Alcyon can reveal secrets, assemble spirits, or conversely strengthen the eyesight in the right alignment. So in the right alignment, you could just have like hella sharp 20/20, better than 20/20 vision. The gemstone associated with Alcyon is crystal, and also the stone Diadochus, and also quicksilver. And the plant associations are frankincense, diacetin, which is an herb, and fennel. Okay, the next fixed star is Aldebaran or Aldebaran. It's considered a very potent fixed star under the rulership of Gemini also. And Aldebaran is within the constellation of Taurus also, specifically the bright eye of the bull. The bull meaning the Taurus bull. And is considered very fortunate. It can bring a native wealth, honor, notoriety, but also argumentativeness, vitality, intelligence, elegance, integrity, popularity, ferocity, public praise, power and wealth through others, and courage, as well as dangers of sickness and violence in some cases. It can also bring luck and benefits, but they're said to be like very short term. And its planetary nature is that of Mars and sometimes includes Venus. And it's considered one of the four royal stars in the Arabic tradition and was dubbed the guardians of the sky or the watchers of the heavens in Persia thousands of years ago, alongside fixed stars Regulus and Antares and Fomalhaut. It's really hard to pronounce some of these. Doing my best. And the gemstone associated with Aldebaran are rubies and garnets, and the plant association is milk thistle. Next up is Capella. Or Capella. Capella or Capella, derived from the Latin word capra, which means female goat or little she-goat, falls under the rulership of Gemini and lies within the constellation of Auriga. Its combined nature is that of Mars and Mercury and brings honor, renown, wealth, public prominence, and trust. Capella is said to make natives really cautious, curious in seeking knowledge, fondness for learning, kind of like a scholarly fixed star here. They're inquisitive, they're studious, confident, energetic, ambitious, trustworthy, dynamic, envious, strange, or obstinate, depending on its position. And the gemstone associated with Capella is sapphire, and the plant associations are thyme, mint, mugwort, mandrake, and whorehound. The next one is Sirius. Sirius falls under the rulership of Cancer and is called the Dog Star, which you might be familiar with if you know anything about constellations. It's one of the more well-known ones. And it's the brightest fixed star in the Canis Major, also known as the Great Dog Constellation, and derives from the Greek word Sirios, meaning sparking or scorching, because it's so bright. And Sirius is one of the very, like, good ones that you could get in your chart if it's aspecting your chart in some way. Sirius often brings fame, ambition, business prosperity, favors from friends, devotion, honor, riches, passion, resentment, a good memory, loyalty, and often makes people great curators or guardians of things like knowledge or just guardians of things generally. There's a danger of dog bites here, apparently, if it's in a bad aspect, problematic actions, and even accusations from others. Its combined nature is that of Jupiter and Mars, sometimes including Venus. There are like kind of controversial debates, which if you look up fixed stars, you'll kind of see what I'm saying, where, you know, it's like this ancient astrologer said the nature was this, and this ancient astrologer said it was this, and sometimes this. So, you know, there's debate within the sphere of what its inherent nature is, and you can decide for yourself. The gemstone associated with Sirius is beryl, and the plant associations include juniper, savine, mugwort, dragonwort, and the tongue of a snake, which I'm not sure is an herb or if it's like literally the tongue of a snake. So, you know, yeah. The next fixed star is Procyon. Not sure the pronunciation, but it falls under the rulership of the sign of Cancer. Procyon exists within the constellation of Canis Minor, also known as the Lesser Dog Constellation, and it's the eighth brightest star in the night sky. It was considered very auspicious or lucky in terms of fixed stars. Like, Procyon was said to bring fame and wealth in some alignments, but also destruction and destitution in others. So this is what I'm saying about, you know, even if it's, quote, a bad fixed star or, quote, a good fixed star, depending on the way that it's hitting your chart, could be, like, not so great or also awesome. This particular one brings petulance, giddiness, shyness, timidity, pride, short temper, carelessness, and violence in some cases. But also, sometimes you could become, like, really fortunate, have sudden fame or wealth, and willpower to put plans into action, which is a great quality. Its combined nature is that of Mars and Mercury, and brings sudden violence or danger, elevation, which ends in disaster. So this is what I'm talking about, like, you know, how you could be, you know, suddenly famous or suddenly well-known, but then it kind of ends in disaster. There's also, like, hydrophobia here, which is a fear of water, and a lot of activity, no matter how it's expressed. I think that's the influence of Mars here and Mercury's, like, mental and physical energy. It can make people hasty, jealous, hot-tempered, to rise and fall in success, wealth, or fame, sharp-minded, and imprudent. And it gives favor to one from the gods and spirits and men. So it's like everybody sort of loving you. Protection against witchcraft preserves one's health and a strong physical drive to achieve. It also enhances given talents to new heights, especially creative gifts. And if a person can truly embrace and live their inner truth, there's a lot of, like, lessons within these fixed stars where they're kind of, like, telling you, yeah, well, you know, the good parts of this fixed star will show up, but only if that person, you know, is living authentically, or only if that person never lies and lives in high ideals and noble and isn't corrupt and doesn't betray people, because otherwise it's going to go south, kind of thing. And the gemstone associated with Procyon is agate, and its plant associations are water, buttercup, heliotrope, marigold, and pennyroyal. Next up is Regulus. Regulus falls under the rulership of Virgo and exists within the heart of the lion in the constellation of Leo, and supposedly conveys, like, royalty and nobility. It's literally known as, like, the kingmaker when it strongly aspects a person's chart. And this is across cultures, which is really fascinating to think that, like, I don't know if these astrologers were speaking to each other or if they just all came to the same conclusion, but, like, the traditional name Regulus is Latin for prince or little king, and in Arabic is known as Kalb al-Asad, or the heart of the lion. In Chinese, it's known as the yellow emperor, and in Babylonian, simply the king. So the royal association seemed to span across cultures and astrological traditions, which is really fascinating that they all came to the same conclusion if they weren't actually speaking to each other, which I couldn't tell you. You can research that if you'd like, but I just thought it was really interesting. And its combined nature is that of Jupiter and Mars, or sometimes only Mars or the Sun, and bestows a noble mind, honesty, courage, kingship and royalty, pompousness, violence, destruction, military honors, imprisonment, violent death. That's a theme. A continuing theme through a lot of these fixed stars is, like, violent death. Also success, high ideals, generosity, strength of spirit, magnanimity, ambition, fondness for power and authority, temperance, independence, leadership, scandalous actions, short-lived benefits, victory over enemies, failures, and high spirits. And the gemstone associated with Regulus is granite, and its plant associations are mugwort, celandine, and mastic. The next fixed star is Alcade or Alcaide. Falling under the rulership of Virgo, Alcade exists within the tail of the constellation of Ursa Major, also known as the Great Bear constellation. In ancient times, it was known as, quote, the destroyer of nations by Islamic astrologers, as it often signifies instability when strongly aspected. Though it's really unknown if this was considered, like, a good thing that it was a destroyer of nations or a bad thing. Like, are we destroying our own nation on accident? Or is it the destruction of enemy nations and that's, like, a good thing? So there's debate about whether or not this is a good or bad thing. Its combined nature is that of Venus and the Moon, and it does lend creativity, quietness, suspicion and distrust, self-control, patience and good fortune, high status in business and government, thirst for revenge, victory over enemies, disasters, fanaticism, illness, ruthlessness, and turbulence. Those under strong influence of Alcade may have a great sense of authority or feel responsible for or be in service to others. There are links with this particular fixed star to the dead, death specifically, or mourning. Like, people working with helping those in mourning or working with the dead or things like that. Also, death by natural disaster seems to be a theme here, such as like mudslides, earth or weather disasters, and other sudden death circumstances. And that seems to be a theme specifically here. Al-Qaeda is also linked to global catastrophes and the terrible aspects of war, and those with strong aspects to this fixed star must remain like morally correct in order to transform the qualities of its influence into positive ones. So this is what I'm talking about when I say like, yeah, like this is a terrible star or this is a great star, but you know, watch out because you know, so that's what I'm saying is like, it could be a fortunate star, but if you push things too far or if you're a dishonorable person, it could really turn on you. And it could be a really horrible fixed star in your chart that's aspecting strongly. But if you're a really good person, if you're morally correct, if you treat others well, then, you know, all of a sudden it's kind of like the qualities are shifted in your favor. The gemstone association is magnet here for Al-Qaeda. And the plant associations are succory and chicory. The next fixed star is Algorab. Falling under the rulership of Libra, Algorab exists within the constellation of Corvus, also known as the Crow constellation, and it's considered a dark star. It lends high favor in business and government, but it's associated with losses or mishandling of matters, accidents and injuries, the power to summon or drive away evil spirits, protection from winds and malicious intent from men, and bad dreams. In its combined nature, it's that of the two malefics, Saturn and Mars, and it can impart charm, craftiness, greediness, ingenuity, cleverness, destructiveness, misrepresentation, anger, courage, boldness, passion, selfishness, aggressiveness, and agitation. The gemstone associated with Algarab is black onyx, and its plant associations are burdock, henbane, comfrey, and the tongue of a frog. Again, I'm not sure if that's like a plant misnomer or if they're literally referring to the tongue of a frog. The next fixed star is one of my favorites, Spica, I'm not sure the pronunciation, but it's twice the size of our sun. Spica is huge and falls under the rulership of Libra. It's considered one of the most auspicious or lucky fixed stars, and it's the brightest star within the constellation of Virgo. Spica is said to impart riches and wealth, sweetness, success, renown, injustice to innocence, unscrupulousness, good fortune, religious favor, unexpected honors, and sociability. Its combined nature is that of the planets Venus and Mars, sometimes including Mercury, like there's debate here, and lends great honors, love of the arts, good judgment, removes scarcity and mischief, gives psychic intuition, fame, and can often indicate a person with great artistic skill or drawing ability, musical talent, or appreciation for literature and science. The gemstone associated with Spica is emerald, and its plant associations are sage, trefoil, periwinkle, mugwort, and mandrake. Next up is Arcturus, and it's sort of linked with Spica, so it's really interesting. So it falls under the rulership of Libra also. Arcturus is closely linked with Spica, but is a bit more grand in its nature. It lies as a golden red star within the knee of the constellation Boots. Arcturus gets its name from ancient Greek, Arcturos, meaning guardian of the bear. So Spica being, you know, within the constellation of Virgo, and then Arcturus, the guardian of the bear. In Arabic, it's known as like one of the uplifted ones alongside Spica. However, where Spica is known for this like sweet, innocent, good fortune, Arcturus is kind of darker, and its combined nature is that of planets Mars and Jupiter, and it brings wealth, honor, ambition, sometimes military honors, high favor and renown, good fortune in business or the arts, high office, like meaning in government, self-determination and prosperity to voyages and navigation. There's also sometimes turbulence and anxiety with strong aspects to Arcturus, as well as a reputation for justice through power, argumentativeness, enterprising nature, and protection, as long as you don't abuse good fortune or other people or deny them what's owed them or like mistreating them. This is what I'm saying again about fixed stars is like, yes, you'll get all of these things, but if you start abusing people, if you don't pay people what they're owed, if you're mistreating others, if you're abusing your power, all of that's gonna go away. Arcturus imparts a large amount of spiritual energy here and may offer both spiritual and physical protections to those under its influence, which is really cool when you think about the fact that it's sort of like guarding those who have a strong aspect here as long as they sort of act right. The gemstone association with Arcturus is jasper, and its plant association is plantain. Next up is alfeca, or alfica. Falling under the rulership of Scorpio, alfeca, it lies within the constellation of Corona Borealis, also known as the Northern Crown, where it resides as a white binary star at the base of the Crown constellation. It's sort of known as like the jewel of the Crown constellation. Its combined nature is that of Venus and Mercury, sometimes Mars and Mercury, and indicates dignity, poetic and artistic skills, idealism, honor, refinement, likability, lovable qualities, intelligence, neatness, occult ability, like psychic powers, ability to heal the sick, honorable legacies, scandals, adultery and secret affairs, backstabbing, lone wolf tendencies, chastity. Those gifted in astrology often have a strong aspect to alfeca, poisoning and infectious diseases, and leadership qualities. I don't know if like ancient cultures were just very obsessed with finding out exactly how the hell they were going to go out, like how were they going to die, or was it going to be disastrous, or if that's just a part of ancient astrology's mindset. Also, if you can hear that, sorry, I live really close to LAX. Anyway, but yeah, like, I don't know if that's a thing or if it's just like the mindset of the day, but it's wild how much they're mentioning sudden death and just like absolute catastrophe in these fixed star indications. The gemstone associated with alfeca is topaz, and its plant associations are rosemary, trefoil, and ivy. The next fixed star is Antares, and it falls under the rulership of Sagittarius. Antares is known as the antithetical to Mars. Like Antares, it literally means like anti-Aries or the rival of Mars, and brings destruction, rashness, and a headstrong nature. It lies as a variable double star within the heart of the constellation of Scorpius, also known as the Scorpion constellation. And again, the ancient Greek name that it has is Antares or anti-Aries or Eris. Which literally means the rival of Mars because of its similar color to the red planet. So it's like a red star, and they're kind of going like, oh, that kind of looks like Mars. Antares was also known in Persia as Sativus, one of the four royal stars. So it has like a slightly different vibe there. Its combined nature is that of Mars and Jupiter, sometimes including Venus, and imparts destruction, liberality, open-mindedness, danger of fatality and malevolence, keen mind, courage, sudden unforeseen events or accidents, which you can kind of see the Mars-Aries association here with the sudden unforeseen events or accidents, right? The toughness, belligerence, strategic ability, and danger from fire, weapons, or in battle. This apparently is one of the fixed stars that was associated with like military generals and like people who'd be gaining renown within war and military settings. So again, not super bad if like back in the day you want to be a Roman general or something. Like that'd be very kind of fortunate, even though it's not a super great fixed star to have in your chart in terms of like riches. The gemstone associations are sardonyx and amethyst, and its plant association is birthwort. The next fixed star is Vega, and it falls under the rulership of Capricorn. Vega is a massive pale sapphire fixed star within the handle of the constellation of Lyra, also known as the handle of the lyre, or lyre, depending on how you pronounce that. The name Vega is derived from a transliteration of an Arabic word, waqi. I think, hopefully I'm saying that right, which means literally falling or landing. And its combined nature is that of Mercury and Venus, and it brings idealism, hope, refinement, adaptability, pretentiousness, seriousness, and obscurity. It is said to impart leadership qualities, fleeting honors, obscurity, social awareness, harmonious nature, avengers of crimes, like these are people that are executing bad guys, personal charm, trained or involved with public courts of law, like, you know, putting people in jail that deserve to be there, or like serving justice. That's kind of what this fixed star is about. Also artistic talents for music and acting, and bestows magnanimity and pride. And also the gemstone association with Vega is chrysolite, and its plant associations are water, savory, succory, and fumitary. And the final fixed star is called Deneb al-Gedi. Falling under the rulership of Aquarius, Deneb al-Gedi lies within the tail of the constellation of Capricornus, also known as the Seagoat constellation. And its traditional name comes from the Arabic term Deneb al-Gedi, which means the tail of the goat. Its combined nature is that of Saturn and Jupiter, the great benefic and the great malefic in the sky. And this is, it's said to impart both benefits and destruction, suffering and happiness, life and death. It's like the fixed star that gives you the cycle of life or something. It's kind of giving you, I don't know, I guess you could say it's like backhanded in a way. But Deneb al-Jadi bestows fame, wealth, leadership qualities, integrity, justice, and a life filled with constant change. Magically, the energies of Deneb al-Jadi can be seen as protective and purifying, and people use them especially in talismans. The gemstone association is chalcedony, and its plant associations are marjoram and mandrake. And that is all I have for you regarding the fixed stars. Again, there are many, many, many more. And if you know the names of the constellations, you've got things like Bellatrix, Castor and Pollux, Oculus. That's just a couple. But there's like lists and lists if you Google fixed stars and want to research them for yourself. Definitely recommend. It's fascinating and they have tons and tons of meaning. Like, you know, if you have a strong aspect to Oculus, you could have really good eyesight or something like that. And there's so many interesting ones that have really interesting significations. So highly recommend if it's something you're interested in. They also have really interesting occult and magical uses. So if you're interested in planetary and astrological magic, that's a great place to really dig deep. So much ancient tradition there. And again, reading the works of Agrippa, the, you know, three books of occult philosophy and magic are a great place to start. He's going to talk all about it. That's all I have for you today. If you want to learn more about how to spiritually heal and transform your life using astrology and magic, which is more along the lines of what I do and dig deep with, you can actually now enroll in my online program at a new low price through my Patreon. It's only going to be available on the star tier, which is the highest tier that you can become a patron of on my Patreon, and it's $50 a month. But even if you were to subscribe the entire year, you're still getting the program at like the fraction of the price that you would have gotten if you bought it outright. And also you'll get one module a month with all of the resources and all of the homework pieces that come with each module. You're just gonna have to wait because like you'll only get one module a month as opposed to, again, getting the whole thing in one go, but you will save a lot of money. So highly recommend taking advantage of that while it's available. It's gonna roll out over the this year as we go through all the months. And at this point, I think two or three modules are already out for you to take advantage of. Also, my Patreon's a great place to get started with astrological and planetary magic. I go through full moon and new moon lunation cycles where we talk about what you can expect astrologically and what kind of magical workings you should be doing monthly and all that jazz, alongside zodiac themed path workings for the Sabbats. And I'm working on even more all the time to bring you guys great content there. So definitely check me out if you're interested in supporting me over on Patreon. I would love it. So as well as, you know, the course that Embracing the Sacred Soul Blueprint being available only on the top tier, but you can learn more about that if you check out my Patreon. It's going to be linked in the description. Also, you can follow me on social media. I'm on Instagram at Astrology Witch Podcast. I'm on Facebook at Astrology Witch Podcast. We also have a Facebook group called Astrology Witches, and on Twitter at AstroW Podcast, where I'm a little less active, to be honest with you. And you can also listen to these episodes on YouTube by subscribing to Astrology Witch Podcast on YouTube if that's something you prefer. And yeah, you can shoot me an email anytime, theastrologywitch89@gmail.com. And I'd love to hear your thoughts on any of the podcast episodes and what you thought of them and if they've helped you in your practice and your journey through astrology. So hope you guys are having a great day. I'm really excited for the next episode. So hopefully you enjoyed this one and I will talk to you in the next one.